Welcome to the Western New York Entrepreneur Podcast, helping Western New York entrepreneurs take the next step in their business. If you love Western New York and entrepreneurship, this is the podcast for you. Whether you have been in business for 20 years or 20 minutes, there is something for everyone. David Schaub interviews the top entrepreneurs in Western New York so you can take your next step in your own business.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode. We appreciate you joining us. Before we dive into today's guest, I just want to let you know that I'm so excited for you guys to come to our Boat Dock networking event tomorrow at Carefree Boat Club in North Tonawanda. Thank you for everyone who RSVP'd. Thank you for those who sponsored the event. We appreciate you. It's going to be our last outdoor event of the year. So thank you for RSVPing. We'll see you guys tomorrow. So let's dive into today's guest. We have Tyler Ubelauer from Buffalo Solar Company here. Actually, right down the street from where I live, man. Is this technically Depew or Lancaster?
This is Depew.
Depew? Okay. Awesome, man. So, Tyler, when I first met you, I really loved your story. And I was really excited to have you on the podcast so everyone can hear your story. So, if it's okay, man, I'm going to give you the platform right away. Tyler, how did you get into solar and start everything you did?
So I've always had a liking to renewable energies, and I went to I've seen windmills and stuff go up around my house throughout my teenage years, and I went to ITT Tech as a teenager right out of high school to become a windmill technician, and I saw a lot of windmills going up around my house, and I went through a two-year program for that, and what happened is the windmills had since kind of we'll call sunsetting around my area. They all went up, and the windmill companies had since gone to like Texas and those areas, and they wanted me to come down to those areas. And I didn't really want to at that age. I didn't really totally know what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Traveling to Texas when I was 19 wasn't really something that was in the wheelhouse. So I ended up getting into construction and going into different fields of that and that nature, learning to work with my hands and learning to build stuff and so on and so forth.
Yeah, just like most of you, we're just figuring it out.
Figuring it out, yeah, trying to figure it out in your early 20s. And so I did end up becoming an electrician. I went up to the IBEW and became an electrician with them. I had to end up stop doing that job because my mom had passed away. And I went down to Florida, grabbed my grandmother. She moved in with me. And what happened is I wasn't able to really continue on with becoming an electrician. I was an electrician for a tower company.
Okay.
So I built towers kind of hand in hand with a windmill technician, climbing up heights and stuff like that. I always loved it. People think I'm crazy.
Yeah, I hate heights. Yeah.
So you sway back and forth all day and on towers and so forth. So you're running like DC conductors up on like beacons and so that planes don't hit it, and you know, running like battery packs down to CT cabinets and things like that. So you're decomming, putting up towers, taking down coax, decomming sites. It was a fun job, but what happened is mom passed away and I couldn't continue on doing that job because they wanted you to go farther and farther into Pennsylvania and Ohio and
so on. You're taking care of your grandmother.
Taking care of my grandmother. So at the time, my wife was Canadian and she moved in with me. So she didn't have her license at the time. And grandmother is 94. Let's put that out there. So she wasn't, you know, she wasn't a spring chicken or anything like that. So she's 94. And sound in mind, she even did her own taxes. So she handed me the book the one day when I realized that, you know, she hands me the IRS book and manual with all of her taxes filled out and says, you know, go hand this to your accountant. I did my taxes. So I was like, wow, this is crazy, right?
Yeah.
So I had to stop doing the tower foreman job. So I went back up to the union and got in with them. They asked me if I wanted to do telecommunications or solar. So boom, the light went off and I wanted to do solar. So I ended up working for an electrical contractor who did solar installations, and I got in with them for about 8 weeks' time, and I realized that they weren't doing things that I believed in, the things that they were treating the customers and so on and so forth in that nature, and I ended up quitting there and starting up my own operation at 8 weeks into it. Okay. So my mom was an entrepreneur. She owned businesses. She owned hair salons and apartments and things in those natures. So she helped me kind of grow my entrepreneurial background. I would come home and she would hand me all of her cash for the day because everything back then was a cash business.
Yeah.
Learning to count money and put things in envelopes and put things aside for bills and so on and so forth. So I learned that at a very young age on how to count money, track money, understanding how to treat people and treating customers, because I always saw her do it. So I applied all of this stuff to the background of what I wanted to do was start my own company. So I started a subcontracting company, basically went door to door to other companies to ask them, hey, I have this experience. I bought a brand new truck and trailer so that I could be kind of a little bit higher up on the totem pole with a reputation that, you know, this guy's serious.
Yeah, of course.
So I went there, explained all this stuff, and one of the companies did allow me to do some of the installations for him. So I was like, yes, off to the races. So I started to do installations with them, and I only got four projects in, and I've learned about contracts. So that was my first kind of whammy of, like, you need to have legit contracts in order to protect yourself as a business owner. So what happened is I lost some money through some contractual agreements that weren't there, right? It was kind of a verbal agreement because I was so excited just to do the work. And I learned very quickly that I needed contracts and I didn't want to work with this company anymore. So I started Buffalo Solar. That was 2 months after that in the winter of 2015.
Yeah, and there's a lot in those 5 years, right? You know, or 6 years, I should say now. And unfortunately, we don't have so much time on, to talk about that, right? So I thought it was just really cool, by the way. I just want to preference that. It was really cool hearing your journey of, like, how everything along the way taught you and gave you experience to what you're doing today of actually. And, you know, I thought that was really cool, and that's what stuck out to me. And but anyways, so if you had to do, I know it's so tough, Tyler, so I'm asking an impossible task here, man. But okay, so obviously you started 8 weeks in, right, for subcontracting, right? And then you started your own Buffalo Solar, right? So that was just you, and now you have over 30 employees. I think it was 32 employees, right? So that's a you know, it's a lot in between. So if you can give us the bullet points, how did you kind of get to where you are today? And of course, we can dive into stuff too as well, but if you can give us a synopsis.
Sure. So really it starts, I started the company out of my South Buffalo home. So it was me and Alicia, my wife. And I still have the picture of sitting down trying to look at the, draw out the old logo of what I wanted on a whiteboard, right? So, like, that's, I still have that picture. It means so much to me because it was like, we rebranded a couple times, and now we got it right. And the picture is just so important because of the way that it started out of our South Buffalo home with the branding that we had. And you look back at it now, you think, like, oh, you're so, it was so young at the time, right? Now we rebranded into something else, which is, you know, this big thing. And so it started off with just me. What I did is I called a lot of the different operations that made all this stuff work. I got a master electrician on board because you have to have a master's electrician's license to install anything electrical in the city of Buffalo. So I knew I needed that. And I needed NYSERDA, which is another accreditation that you have to have to in order to pull the incentives for the customers. And I had to have financing for the customers. So I learned all this stuff as I went, right? And what happened is I started out of my house. I started to go through the process of selling jobs. I basically would find the lead, go to the home visit. I found the solar software tools and the financing companies. Put all this stuff together over for about a year, though. I went into about 50 homes or so and talked to about 50 customers to start, and they all shot me down. I call it ghosting. Ghosting is a real thing in business, and you do a proposal for some and get the interest, and then they may look at your background or your experience. And we were always the ones that, you know, we're not going to lie to customers and say that, you know, we are a newer operation, and I've done it before, just not for Buffalo Solar yet. So I was shot down, told no for months and months and months. And I always told my wife, I got down to about my last $5,000 that I had saved throughout my life. And and I said, I don't know if this is going to work. One of those things. So
we're just being real here.
Just being straight up real. Like, I don't know what else. I can't throw any more money at it because I don't have any more money. So I started this all off of my dime, and I put the money where it needed to be to work the best for us. Like I said, I bought my first truck and trailer, and I had my first truck and trailer wrapped before I even had my first job in Buffalo Solar Solutions in the old logo, before I had it, because I knew that I was going to have to compete with the big boys. So I needed to make myself look professional. And what happened is, after about 4 months of doing proposals, going in and out of homes, you know, trying your best to put the information together, because going from a subcontracting business to go to do everything A to Z, from the sales aspect, lining up jobs, going through the construction aspect, having the master electrician's license, having the NYSERDA, doing all the paperwork, it can be overwhelming, right? So you have to do all these extra things in order to do a job versus just handing a job folder to go, and it's already engineered. You can go install it and then you're done, right? So it's completely different from subcontracting to owning your own solar company.
Yeah. And there's so much there. And I know, like I said, when we talked, you know, a couple of weeks ago, or was it maybe 3 weeks ago, we talked about the whole thing, and it was just really cool to see how it was like, it was literally like, it was like building Legos. It just, you're literally putting one at a time. It wasn't, it seemed like to me, it wasn't one big, you know, idea. It was more of like just building and learning and growing, learning and growing, learning and growing. I have over 30 employees. So I do want to ask this question. So obviously you've been zero to hiring your first part-time employee, which I know he quit college to join you and whatnot, which I thought was really cool. But now obviously over 30 employees. So knowing what you know now, what would you tell yourself now? Like, hey man, don't do this, right? Maybe it's payroll. I don't know. Maybe it's HR, something that you've learned.
The thing that I've learned, which is I wish that I had a better handle on, was structure. Mm-hmm. And as a new company, you don't realize that you absolutely need to have a better structure when hiring employees and hiring 10 or 12 a year. I think 1 year we hired 12 employees. Mm-hmm. And not having the HR department, not having the things to bank on, can kind of throw you for a loop because people don't know where they're headed, who's the leader of the pack. Who do they report to? Especially when you're the owner of the company, mm-hmm. you get bogged down by so many different questions that really consumes a lot of your time. So I would go back and have more of a structured process, kind of dive into that in year one, mm-hmm. instead of waiting the 2-3 years it takes to kind of get up to that speed. Invest it in those areas because I feel like it would be a lot smoother process on the business owner at that point. Mm-hmm. And you have that wall there, that bankability where they can go to the HR person or mm-hmm. someone in charge that can tell them what to do because you've had these discussions in the past. So sometimes it gets a little bit confusing when you're running. I had 7 employees out of my house before I even got into my first office.
Yeah.
So it can be overwhelming, to say the least.
I gotta imagine it's been so cool to see for those 7 employees to see it grow. Because right now, you know, obviously our listeners can't see this, but we're in a beautiful space right now. It's an old like building with industrial. You can tell where the old trains used to come through, and they've really modernized. It's really cool, but it's still kept that feel of an old building. It's really cool. So that being said, man, you know, what challenges did you have to overcome? Do you feel like that are the most noteworthy? I'm sure there's so many challenges, but what was the most noteworthy challenge for you, do you think?
So when you grow, getting into your first office can be challenging. Knowing like the gut wrenching, the bills that actually come with it is night and day from when you jump into like from your house to, cause it's already paid for, right?
Yeah.
And you already have these sections and you just really got to buy furniture, get internet, and then keep people moving. So the biggest thing is getting people into the office and having to pay for all that stuff to mm-hmm. start, right? Because it can be overwhelming. There's a lot of bells and whistles that have to go with it to make it function. Mm-hmm. And I think I did pretty good at it. It was I ended up doing really well with a bunch of installations to start. I wanted to do 12 my first year out of my house, and I ended up doing 26 before I left. Mm-hmm. These are residential installations. Mm-hmm. So I took that money and bought my first office and paid for it for a year up front and mm-hmm. the gas bill and the electric bill. So I learned at a young age that paying this stuff off ahead is always helpful as far as that goes in business. And it really makes it very fruitful for you to move forward.
My next question for you, Tyler, is what advice would you give someone who is trying to become an entrepreneur and doesn't really know where to start? What would you say to those people?
Just start. Start to put the pieces together, put it down on paper. Don't be afraid to ask questions. So when I first started out, the biggest thing for me was the NYSERDA paperwork. That was like a big animal in the room. Mm-hmm. So the NYSERDA, if anybody doesn't know what it is, it's basically money that the state puts aside to allocate to renewable energies. And that could be in the solar form or heating and cooling. Anything that's like energy efficient, they put money in a bucket. And you have to abide by their rules in order to get this the money for the customer. So we throw it on our proposals, and it gives a certain amount of money off of the system. But mm-hmm. you're accountable to the paperwork and the shade shots, which you have to go up on the roof or in a backyard. It's called the Solar Pathfinder. You have to be able to compile all of the shade shots into a software, be able to trace it out and get a percent from sun, which is TSFR. And you have to, that's just one piece of it in order to send a NYSERDA to get these incentives. So I feel like a lot of questions were asked throughout that period. I called NYSERDA every single day, and I think they hated me. because I was just relentless with it, because they did deny my application a bunch of times before I even could install my first project, mm-hmm. because I was learning through that. It took me about 6 weeks to get it passed because I was just in a sea of information that mm-hmm. I needed to put together to get an application through. Having never done it before, I didn't even know what a shade shot was when I got into solar, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't even know it was a thing. So you have to compile a lot of information for the state in order to get that approval. That was a big jump for me. So I would say ask a ton of questions. Don't ever go too fast either. Going too fast and jumping into things that get you into trouble, financial trouble, especially in business, it's all about finances. Mm-hmm. It's all about budgeting. That's mm-hmm. why I waited a year to jump into my first office from my house. Those 7 employees were like, when are we going to get an office?
Yeah, never. Right? I'm just kidding.
So,
hi, my name is Laura Bernadoni, and I've been helping businesses with their payroll and HR needs for over 20 years. Paychex makes it simple for businesses of all sizes to pay and manage their employees. We handle their benefits programs. We guide them through human resource challenges. We keep them up to date with ever-changing laws and regulations, and we do it all in the way our customers want. Online or mobile, over the phone, in person, or a combination of the above. At Paychex, we work the way you want to work. To learn more, contact me at 716-308-3474. Thank you.
Is there a process, by the way, that you jump when you're like filtering an idea through or anything to do with business? Is there a question you ask or a process that you kind of sit through it all? Like that you're like, just from what you've learned?
Does this make sense? Mm-hmm. That's the question that I ask myself. Okay. Because the old nod your head and think that, yeah, this will go smooth doesn't usually work out half the time. Mm-hmm. So always, does this make sense? Is this good for me and my business? Mm-hmm. That question should always rise in an entrepreneur's head. If it's not going to show any ROI or it's not going to show any progression and you're just doing it to do it, especially when like buying depreciating assets, overbuying vehicles and equipment, thinking that you need it. Sometimes does this make sense is a really valid question to an entrepreneur.
No, that makes a ton of sense. And not to put the pun on what you just said, but that being said, what I thought was really cool about your story, Tyler, when I first met you was that you were just figuring it out as you go. And I thought it was really smart is you just, if you didn't know the answer after, you know, kind of like, especially with the NYSERDA, all these things you were trying to figure out, if you didn't find the answer, you went to people that were in that field, right? It was like the manufacturers, hey, how do I do this? Especially when you were doing the financing, right? And the solar panels, I'm like, wow. Like one key that I noticed in entrepreneurs, successful entrepreneurs, is that they just figure it out. And they just like, okay, if I don't know, I'm gonna ask somebody who does this. And they just keep asking, keep figuring it out. Yes. They're never given the answer. They just have this crazy will.
They figure it out.
Yeah, it's like
stitching.
Yeah, they're just putting it together, man. So what do you think taught you that, by the way?
My mother. Mm-hmm. My mother, because I seen her be extremely persistent with people on the phone and just in general, like always protecting herself, always asking the right questions and never putting up with shit from people. That's what it taught me. So I'll tell you a cool story about persistence. And when I got into the solar industry, starting the company out of my house, the biggest animal in the room was actually going and finding financing for the customer, right? Mm-hmm. So I ended up calling about 30 banks across the country. They all wanted a business background, 2 years of tax returns, you know, how much revenue have you done, so on and so forth. And every time I was like, I don't have anything to produce for you. Mm-hmm. I don't have any revenue. And they next, kind of like not going to take me on. So I went through the process through my solar software company. I started asking them questions about how they get solar financing for customers. And I hit on a company called SunGage Financial in Massachusetts. This was after about 3 months of looking. Mm-hmm. So I started at the end of the winter and I hit on them about June. So what I did is I called them. They gave me the same spiel mm-hmm. about they need 2 years of business tax returns and so much revenue. So I told them I didn't have that. I hung up the phone and I wrote a email with the photos of, and I took the photos of my truck and trailer with the business because it looked like a legitimate business, even mm-hmm. though I didn't have a job. I wrote up a whole email on who I was and what I'm trying to accomplish and where I came from. So, lo and behold, they ended up calling me back in a few days and said that we would actually like to send 3 representatives from Massachusetts out to your South Buffalo home and interview you. And I said, oh, wow, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. So this is before I even did an application for them. So they asked me to do the application. Once they submit it, it doesn't matter about yes or no. They're going to send those reps down. Mm-hmm. So now I ended up having 3 reps from this company sent down to my house to interview me. They sat there for about 1.5 hours, realized what type of person I was, what I'm trying to accomplish. I went through my whole story, mm-hmm. my whole background. I told them the same story that I'm telling you right now. Mm-hmm. Jeff, who I'm still friends with this days, who's a representative from Sungage Financial, walked outside, probably told the one of the higher ups there that I'm good to go, came mm-hmm. back inside and said that we're going to take you on.
Awesome.
So not having any business tax returns, not having any of the accreditations that they wanted, persistence pays off in the end. And they took me on, and I was able to offer zero down financing to my customers.
Dude, that's such an awesome story. So I'm going to pause that for a second. So for our listeners out there, you know, obviously, what can you take from Tyler's story to like, okay, you know what? I've been shot down in this area, shot down this area. This hasn't worked for me. This hasn't worked for that. Or what? Because I can't be specific because there's, you know, millions of different businesses out there. But what about you? What can you do that's a different angle to really show the human side of things, to really, again, push past that label or push past that lid, I'll call it, or that can maybe bring you a new result? Because let's just be honest, most people just said, all right, well, whatever, right? Especially after 3 months. 3 months is a long time in business, right? It's not like you're getting a check still every week.
Zero income.
So 3 months is a long time, right? Even like 3 days seems like an eternity for us when we're not producing the results. We don't have the income coming in. 3 months is crazy.
And you're paying the insurances the whole time. So you have to pay. In order to be reputable, you have to pay your workers' comp and general liability when you start your business. So I was paying all of those bills. I was paying the additional bills to fund our home office, so on and so forth, and depleting your bank account go down while you're getting zero to no traction at all. So it's definitely gut-wrenching, to say the least.
Yeah, I can only imagine that. So if you had to break it down to one or two things that you would advice that you would give to entrepreneurs, knowing what you know now, what would you tell them?
So one of the things that I would say is if you're going to try and fund your own company and you're going to try and do it without debt, which is extremely hard, that's what I've been able to accomplish. Mm-hmm. I would say that if you think you need a certain amount of money, double it in order to have a safeguard. And I learned that you go through money a lot quicker than you would think. There's so many things that pop out of the woodwork that you just either you pay them or you go out of business, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. So it's difficult to say what those things are, but as soon as you're kind of in the cage and you're going through the process, things do pop out of the woodwork. So it can be very difficult. So I always tell people, like, if you're going to try and do this thing, make sure that you're really prepared and have double the funds that you think you originally needed, because it can be very difficult and tricky, to say the least. So like even like my insurance, I learned like how much workers' comp actually cost a solar installer. Okay. So I went through getting a quote from one company and it was misquoted. I ended up finding Jeff Landmark, who's from the Wolf Agency, and he quoted me, it was like 13 grand. Mm-hmm. And that was like unheard. I said, how... 13 grand for a year. I said, it's only me. Don't, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. So one of those things where I didn't budget for 13 grand.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
So it's just, you need an additional funds to be able to fund your business if you're going to want to stay in business.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, shout out to Jeff Leanmark. I love that guy. Hamburg
he's
over
the
there.
Best.
Yeah. He's a great, great guy.
Yeah. Orchard Park. Yeah. He's the best.
Yeah. I agree with you. Him and his dad have been in that business for years, man. But yeah, so that being said, you know, we only have a few minutes left, Tyler. So I kind of want to give you the platform or the microphone, if you will. Mm-hmm. If you can kind of say, you know, I mean, something, I don't know about you, but you ever like feel like, man, if business owners can stop doing this, or hey, start doing this, you know, if you kind of like a shot on top of a mountain, but you don't have a mountain, but you have a microphone and you have an entrepreneurial, you know, local community here, anything that you would say to them at all?
So patience is everything in business. Nothing happens overnight. It doesn't happen in a year, 2 years, or 3 years, or 4 years. I'm going into year 6.5 or so right now, and I've gotten very, very far, but I've learned to take a step back and let my team kind of run the platform. I like to work on the business instead of in the business. Mm-hmm. So I like to take a step back and kind of look at how things are growing, I guess we'll say, and understanding that patience is everything in this world. Mm-hmm. And without patience, you're going to end up making mistakes and you're going to step too far into stuff, and it ends up being overwhelming and stressful. So you learn to control your stresses through patience and understanding that things don't happen overnight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I always like to ask at least this question at least once, or I guess I'll say it on marketing question. So obviously people just don't call, you know, obviously referral, word of mouth for well-established business is a huge point, but it doesn't start that way, right?
No.
So how did you guys market yourself, or what is one thing that really worked for you, or and it was accumulation of multiple things? I'll let you take it from there.
So in solar, it's tough because the information itself is, unless it's explained the proper way, there's a lot of misconceptions around it. So we try and word of mouth is a big thing. We used to buy like lead sheets and call lead sheets and stuff back in the day. They were really good, but they're not so good anymore.
Yeah.
So you have to get creative with like social media. And we formed a lot of videos when we were brand new. So we have our YouTube channel with the old branding on there. We made so many YouTube videos and so many drone shot in day of a day in the life of an installer. We would show, you know, what would have GoPros on their chests on exactly what we're doing, jumping in and out of attics, on the roof, pulling electrical. We actually have a, it's a 3D, or it's not a 3D, it's a virtual reality glasses. So we hired a company from Buffalo to come into one of our installations in the winter of 2017. Mm-hmm. And what they did is they set up these cameras on the roof in the basement, and you can go on YouTube and see it, and it's virtual reality. So we'd bring the glasses into home visits.
Mm-hmm.
So the actual virtual reality glasses that go over your head, and the customer can actually be there in the installation on the roof in the basement for like the wire pull, hanging the inverters, and it shows you exactly what we're doing,
mm-hmm.
how we're penetrating the roof, how we're putting the flashings in to make it waterproof. So that when you go into the home, this is the professional atmosphere and installations that you get from Buffalo Solar.
Mm-hmm.
So it really started to work, and we actually won an award in 2018 for the most forward-thinking solar contractor in the whole country from
Really?
Solar Power World.
No, that's really cool.
So
that really, do you think that really, yeah, helped get your awareness in the area, huh?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because no one was doing it that way, and that's why they rewarded us with it, because we spent a decent amount of money on it, but it worked, and it shows the customer, like, these guys are legit.
Mm-hmm.
They are showing the customer things that they had questions about. A lot of those questions are answered in that 4-minute video when they're wearing the glasses. So you can kind of go over your proposal and then show them, oh, well, if you have questions about this stuff, I actually have some virtual reality glasses to show you the installation and answer all your questions. And most of those questions were answered during that 4-minute video.
Would you send them like the glasses or something to watch it? Or
so before the coronavirus hit, we would go into the homes with the glasses. So each salesperson mm-hmm. had a set of glasses.
Yeah.
And they would go in with the proposal and with the paper proposal in the folder, and they would have them on it, and they would offer it in case a customer wanted to wear them. Not all of them did,
yeah,
but most did. And they'd like to check out kind of what we had going on and what that video looked like, because most of those questions will come up during the proposal process. Like a lot of it's like roof penetration stuff,
yeah.
and roof leak. Well, that video can answer your questions.
No, I think that is so forward thinking. So again, let me stop for the second time here for our guests. So what is a different way that you can, I guess I'll use the word broadcast, your business, your idea, your products, your services in a unique way that no one else is doing it? And I know that sounds like maybe a canned question, but often we're always doing like, we want proof of concept, proof of that this is working, or everybody else is doing this, right? So why don't we just do what everybody else is doing? It's been working for them. And there's truth to that, right? But in the same breath, how do you stand out, and how do you broadcast your different way that, and again, what questions do most of your clients have, or potential clients have, that you can answer in a different way? So I think that's so huge. So that was actually a really good answer, Tyler. I love that, man.
Awesome.
So yeah. So that being said, man, for those that just really connect with your story, Tyler, maybe they want to check out Buffalo Solar, or they just want to hear, maybe they have a question for you that we didn't answer. What's the best way from the contact? Some people put email, cell phone, work number, whatever you feel comfortable in the air for local entrepreneurs.
So the two ways is obviously the website. That's a good way. Buffalosolar.com.
Mm-hmm.
We since changed the name and got rid of solutions. But the awesome thing that I'd like to tell everybody is that we've just launched our own app. So we have the Buffalo Solar app on Google Play and the App Store. So you can go to your Apple Store or your Android Store, which is Google Play, and you can download the Buffalo Solar app. And what it is it's a referrals for non-customers and customers.
Mm-hmm.
So you can download it, make a profile, and you can refer any solar customer that you want in our area. And you can get $300 for non-customers and $600 for customers.
Oh, wow.
So that's going to be we actually just launched it last week, And that's an awesome way to kind of get yourself involved. If you hear anybody that wants solar installations, then you can actually make money off of it. You don't have to be a customer.
Yeah, that's actually really cool. So make sure you guys download that app. And again, what is the best way for someone to contact? Is it email, phone number?
They just call 716-800-7775.
Okay, cool. So that being said, thank you again for joining us, man. I know you're very, very busy. You have over 30 employees. You're right, probably in the middle of your peak center. I know he's got out of a commercial meeting here. So yep. Thanks for your time, Tyler. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
If you loved listening to the Western New York Entrepreneurs Podcast and want more, subscribe to it and head on over to WNYEntrepreneur.com for articles, what's coming up next, and to get involved. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.